My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonatotum, where I provide personal opinions, advice, reflection, and recommendations to help you and me stay human while building a successful, healthy, creative writing life. Sonatotum is the podcast companion to Scribtotum, my blog, at mattselznick.com. And now, the show. Hi, folks. It's episode 4, and it's kind of late on a Tuesday night, almost, maybe it's a Wednesday morning by now, I'm not sure. A little bit behind on recording the episode, but that's kind of given me what I want to talk about. Saturday, I kind of went through the ringer, and I don't know if you know, like, kind of what that phrase means, put you through the ringer. Washing machines, clothing washing machines, to get the excess water out of the clothing after you wash them in, let's assume, like a tub. This contraption that you would hand crank was two rollers, and the clothing would go between the rollers to squeeze the liquid out, to squeeze the fluid out, so that you could then take the no longer sopping wet and now just, I guess, you know, slightly damp and very, very flat article of clothing and hang it up on your clothesline or whatever. The thing that got the water out of the clothing was the wringer, as in wring out the moisture. So it's the idea of being squeezed under high pressure and drained at the same time. But let's not forget that it's the last stage of being cleaned, right? Of being cleansed, let's say. So I went through the ringer on Saturday. I was supposed to go to a social event. And the closer it came to the time to actually leave my apartment and go to the thing, I suddenly didn't want to go. Part of that was a touch of social anxiety. It hits me sometimes. It's weird. It's not, I call it social anxiety, but it's not really, I don't feel anxious. I've had anxiety attacks. It's not like that. It's just a sudden kind of lack of motivation. So it's not that kind of tight-chested, freak out, heart racing, brain not working kind of anxiety. It's just, yeah, no, no, not going to do it. Not going to go. And I knew that the feeling was rising in me and that it was gaining strength in me in the hours leading up to when it was time to go. And so it did feel a little bit like I was succumbing to this, let's still call it social anxiety. So there I was, suddenly, without the plan that I had had on a Saturday afternoon. And that was pretty much it for me that day. I started to think about why I had wanted to go in the first place and why I didn't want to go and motivations and priorities, and a snowball turned into an avalanche, and I had what I'm going to call really my first pretty hardcore kind of depressive episode in some time. I mean, a long time, over a year, maybe a year. And so that was Saturday. And Sunday, I woke up feeling not bad, not great, kind of, I don't know, kind of like, have you ever, like, had a big fight with your significant other, and you don't go to bed mad the night before, but you go to bed just kind of drained and exhausted, and you wake up the next morning still kind of The earth still isn't quite steady under your feet. You're not mad anymore, but you don't feel great. That's how Sunday was. I wasn't sad exactly anymore, but I didn't feel great. I didn't feel 100% myself, and I spent Sunday in a contemplative frame of mind. And really kept to myself, avoided people contacting me, wasn't on social media all that much that I can remember. I think I cleaned the apartment. I know it got cleaned a little bit. I must have done something. It's a blur, to be honest. Sunday is a bit of a blur, but I know I didn't really do anything other than think. You know, here's where the positive end of the ringer comes, is going through that sort of emotional mini breakdown. This was kind of like depression saying, hey, watch yourself, buddy, because this still happens if you let it. I came out of the ringer with the dirty water wrung out of me. Now, of course, that's wrong, because when you go through the ringer, it's after you've been washed. Okay? I don't know. I came out lighter, cleaner, because I realized that, once again, things had gotten away from me, things that matter. It's so easy to allow routine and normalcy and sort of the expectations of an everyday life to take up all the space in your head at the expense of real feeling, at the expense of real creative emotion, at the expense of real vulnerability with and transparency. I talk about vulnerability and transparency a lot, but I'm talking about with one's self. I feel like I was starting to get to the point where I was playing the part of the person that I was trying to be instead of being the person that I want to be. And I think my subconscious called me on it. Is that weird? I think that's how it feels. And it sounds silly. It sounds like a cliche. It sounds like a montage in a movie. Because I had the little depressive episode. I had my Saturday. And then Sunday was processing. And then Monday, waking up earlier and working with a greater sense of purpose and eating better and just feeling recommitted. And it made me think about how easy it is to say that you want something and how hard it is to actually really walk that walk. One thing I do remember that I did on Sunday, as I was noodling on the blog post that is also a little late, it's my own calendar, nobody else's, but I wanted there to be a new Scriptotum article up days ago, and it's not yet. So Sunday I was noodling on it, and I asked a writing group on Facebook that I'm part of, you know, what's your biggest challenge? What gets in the way of your creativity and your productivity? Everyone who chose to respond in one form or another, some of them directly, some of them indirectly, said anxiety and depression. Wow, right? I mean, tortured artist and all that. Yeah, whatever. But that struck me, you know? Depression and anxiety are like procrastination food. They're avoidance food. And there's a famous saying about depression: depression lies. And here's why. Depression is your brain overcompensating for non-existent threats, you know, among other things. So depression basically will tell you any kind of story that it can to keep you from doing the thing or from doing the thing that it's frightened by. And for writers, for creators, so often that thing we're afraid of is related to the creation of art itself, to the acceptance of that creation. I think, and I'm going to speak for myself, and maybe if you dig, maybe you don't have to dig, you'll feel the same way. Anytime I procrastinate, it's because I'm afraid of what will become of the thing if I ever actually finish it. And so depression has a way of just seeing that and putting all the brakes on everything and making up stories. Not often literal stories, but moods, brewing the right chemicals in your brain to convince your neurology that a thing is bigger than it is, more threatening than it is, so that you stop the behavior that brings you closer to that thing. Holding fast to the life I'm trying to build is terrifying, because what if it doesn't work? What if I don't get what I think I need? What if I don't get what I think I want? What if I never find success as I define it? What if death comes? What if illness comes? What if real poverty comes? You know, as long as I've got a roof over my head and a bed to sleep in and a fucking $800 computer to create on, I can't say that I'm in poverty, right? What if all those things come to pass? Because I'm pursuing what I think I must pursue. That's terrifying. So I think sometimes we shield ourselves with routine and mediocrity and caution. But eventually your subconscious is going to call you on your shit. Your creative self is going to wake you up, slap you in the face, kick you in the ass, put you through the ringer. I feel like that's what happened. And so Monday, I had client work to do, but I worked a little bit on the blog post. And today, Tuesday, I worked a little bit more on the blog post. It's difficult. Oh, it's difficult. And I'll tell you what, it's difficult because of that fear of my mind acting to shield me from the imaginary failure, from the completely unwarranted expectation of criticism, or worse, the not so unwarranted expectation of being ignored. So it was hard. The post is maybe at one third finished, and I'll bet I trim a bunch from, because I'm already at 1,000 words. Feeling my way through this post about, well, it's related to what happened on Saturday. It's related to what I'm talking about here. about using ritual and habit and practice to stave off the blues, basically, to be aware of what's going on in your body, in your mind, so that you don't end up screwing with yourself emotionally, mentally, so that you don't come to a Saturday session in the ringer, so that you don't allow the creeping inauthenticity to suddenly be a cloak weighing you down, hiding you from everything, falling in front of your eyes. So I thought this was worth sharing. And I wasn't going to do this tonight, but I watched an episode from the fourth season of the Amazon Prime show, Mozart in the Jungle. And it moved me deeply. It was so just soaking with the love of art and the passion to make and the desperate struggle to be authentic and how hard that is to be authentic in the face of expectation and responsibility and fear. I thought, yeah, I'm not going to bed yet. I need to record this thing. Because I think, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you know, that this is a show about making stuff and finding success and staying sane, this has got to sound familiar to you. And maybe you don't always think about it. Maybe you're not at the point where you can be even aware of it when it's happening to you. Maybe you're just bummed out, depressed, anxious, not creating as much or as often as you'd like, and you don't know why. I submit, dear listener, that if you're like me, it could be because you drift a little. And when you drift away from the target, it's no longer exactly where you're headed, right? And something in you senses that that's a problem, that there's something wrong. You know, these moments of existential crises, I say crises plural, because they are, they come up and they come and they go, but here's the real challenge is to hold on to the lessons that they have for you. Try to remember before you get put through the ringer, before you have your anxiety attack, before you have your depressive episode. Try to remember what you really want and try to be brave, because it's really, really tough to stand up to all of the things, many of them imagined, but still all of the things that get in our way, that we put in our own way. Stay aware. Stay vulnerable. Stay true. Let's you and I help each other remember, yeah? All right. I think I can sleep now. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care. Hi, pre-recorded Matt here to let you know I love your comments and feedback on this episode. Leave a comment in the show notes for this episode at sonitotum.com or leave a voicemail at 1-757-DIY-MATT. That's 1-757-349-6288. Or you can send a voice recording or email to feedback@sonitotum.com. Hey, have you subscribed to Sonitotum so you never miss an episode? Well, you really should. Subscribe in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or wherever and however you get your shows. And if Sonitotum is valuable to you, I hope you'll support the show in one or all of the following ways. You can rate and review the show in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This helps more people notice the show, which leads to more subscribers, and everything is happy. Your financial support of Sonitotum has a huge positive impact. Become a patron of the show and my creative endeavors when you pledge at least a dollar a month at patreon.com/Matt Selznick. You'll receive early access to uncut episodes, as well as a bunch of other perks and considerations. And you'll help offset the financial cost of recording, producing, and distributing this podcast. Thank you. You're awesome.